Bobby being like this. He was loving that way too much. That was wonderful. Let's give them a hand again. In fact, let's also give a hand to our hidden figures who are moving microphones and chairs around, Chris and George Brown III. I was amazed. I tell you, I was amazed when you came up with the microphone. This is where I got amazed. When you brought the microphone up here just before Shanaria came up to give the announcements, and you pulled it up without thinking about it, and she comes up and it's at the perfect height. I said, how did he do that? You have to tell me how you did that. But God bless you. I have a sermonette. And they told me that eating depends upon me. And that as soon as I am done, then the food festivities begin. So there's no pressure. But the sermonette that I would like to share with you is titled, Hidden Figures of Eternal Consequence. Hidden Figures of Eternal Consequence. And our text is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Just that one verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16. Started walking, started talking, started singing, started shouting what the Lord has done for me. Amen. But Ephesians 4:16, from him, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. From Jesus Christ, our Savior, the risen Lord, the living one. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is one of the verses in Scripture that makes me involuntarily over-talkative. I start talking about this verse and I just can't contain myself. Its beauty, its power, its implications for all of our lives. But this is a sermonette, so I'm going to make it work. The main idea that I want you to take away from this brief message that I have this afternoon is, in God's program, each one of us is a hidden figure of eternal value. In God's program, each one of us is a hidden figure of eternal value. Not just high earthly value, but eternal value. Value that is going to last through this life and into eternity because God's program is eternal. Now, I want you to think about three words from this text that I shared with you. I want you to think about the word whole, the word every, and the word each. Because those three words, whole, every, each, boils it all down to you. This verse is talking about you. It's not talking about us. It's talking about you individually. And it is when we grasp the you-ness of this passage that the us becomes special. But if we don't grab the you-ness, the each, the whole, the every, the individual focus that this verse is bringing to bear on our lives, we miss the sweetest part of it. the whole body, every part, each part does its work, every ligament, as each part does its work. Those words prevent us looking around at somebody else and excluding ourselves. That's the value. It prevents us. You can't read that and not see you. Not if you're reading it clearly. Whole, every, and each. In this passage, you are part of the whole, included in the every, and singled out by the each. But the bulletin says, on the back of your bulletin, it says that this is a sermonette, so I'm going to make it work. To establish context for this verse, I want you to keep in mind that God has a life. God has a life. He's concerned about the details of each one of our lives, and most of our prayers, when we're praying and talking to the Lord, most of our prayers revolve around asking him to intervene in some way in our lives. It's what we do when we pray. But we have to remember, and that's good, God invites us to do that, but we have to remember that we're part of his life too. Just as he's part of our life, we're a part of his life. In fact, we're a bigger part of his life than he is of ours. He's always thinking about us. We're intermittently thinking of him. He's always passionate about us. We are sporadically passionate about him. So God has a life, and we are a part of it. And he's been living that life forever, which means long before we were born, he had a life. And when we became believers, we became a part of his life, a part of what he was doing long before we showed up. God has a life. He's not just a passive observer waiting on high to listen to us. Just like we say to our kids, we have a life. We're not sitting at home just waiting for the phone to ring. We have a life. God has a life, and he's invited us to be a part of that. The Bible calls this being a disciple. It means learning and following. Each one of us is one of God's hidden figures because the scripture says our lives are hidden with Christ in God. What we really are and the value that we bring to this world is unknown to many, maybe most, but intimately known to God. Our lives are hidden in Christ. Now, this particular point that we're talking about is wrapping up our series on belongingness or stewardship. And if you look on the back of your bulletin, you can see that it's the third item. We publish this on the back of our bulletin every week. It's the third item on our three-point faith focus, which we ask you to be praying about regularly for our church. And it's a request that the Lord would deepen each of our understanding of the resources that he's given each one of us and the value of those resources, and then give us the inspiration to eagerly share those resources with one another. Because God has placed each one of us in the body so that we can be vital resources to one another. God shows up on earth through us. God shows up in Valley Brook through each one of us. Not all of us, each one of us. Big distinction. Each one of us. I want each member of our church to be a passionate possessor. Every Christian, not just a member of our church, but every single believer, my prayer and my desire, and why this verse gets me talking, is because I want all of us to be passionate possessors of our divinely implanted attributes. Not casual or cool about it, but passionate about the fact that God has placed something in me individually to help him to accomplish his work as he lives his life on earth. You see, it's not just what you say. It's how you say it. that makes the difference. It's not just in what you do, but how you do it that makes the difference. Nobody's doing anything new under the sun. What makes it unique and special is that you're the one doing it. It's not what you think. It's how you think that makes the difference, that makes it unique. And this verse here also brings out this phrase, from him. And that from him really stood out to me as I was thinking about this sermonette. The whole process is from him. This whole process is from him. It's not from me. It's not from your parents. It's from him. He started this thing of you being a vital part. He was intentional about your design. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, earlier in the book, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand, before the world began, that we should walk in them. I wish I had more than a sermonette to break this down, but that's all I've got. So you say, how do I participate? How do I take advantage of this? Just start giving. Give what you love. Give what you're good at. Give what others have affirmed. What have others said has been a positive difference maker from you. Give where you're needed. And give where you are. Right where you are. Now, I'm going to end by giving you this little story of my life that sort of brings this down to a level. And not that you're not grasping it, but I want it to just be crystal clear. So I'm going to read this little bit here to end. It's a little story of my life that I think makes the point. Now, the scene is somewhere around fourth grade. Could have been third grade, fourth grade. And I'm sitting next to my friend, Bob Paulson. And Bob Paulson lifts up the top of his desk. You know, those were those desks that, you know what I'm talking about? Now, some of y'all don't go back far enough. But the desk that lifted up, the metal ones, you know, you lift them up and all your stuff is in there. So I'm sitting next to my friend Bob Paulson. He lifts the top of his desk, and I glance inside, and I see a colorful carpet square as flooring to his desk. Miniature toy soldiers are carefully arranged on one side, and a toy car is on the other side, and his school supplies are all neatly arranged in another corner. And it was a desk that could have been featured in Better Homes and School Desk magazine. The only thing missing was a plant. So I lifted my desktop, and mounds of paper sprung up. Buried somewhere beneath was the pencil that I needed to begin the assignment that we'd just been given. I envied Bob's desk. I wanted Bob's desk. I was going to have a desk like Bob's desk. And so I brought in cool things for the inside of my desk, and they sunk under the mounds of paper. No matter how I tried, I could never match Bob Paulson's flair for cooling out a desk. Like the toys in my desk, there's a lesson buried in that episode. I was never intended to have Bob Paulson's desk. My treasure was all the balled up paper. God made me a writer, not a school desk interior decorator. God used all that paper to hone my ability to capture in words portions of my journey with Christ, which I now share with joy with others. What I saw as a mess was in reality God's tools fashioning his gifts to me. I have even turned Bob Paulson's name into an adjective, Paulson-esque. And measuring the unique God-crafted features of my relationship with Christ. So it's Paulson-esque. Thank you, Lord, for the Paulson-esque features of my relationship with you. Each of us in Christ have been given a marvelous dwelling place in him, with stunning views, well appointed and creatively arranged, with unique gifts of superb quality. So when we feel the temptation to compare, let us instead thank the Lord for the reminder that to each one of us, the scripture says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God's gift to me and my gift to the world is in my own desk. So what's hidden and buried in your desk? I'm done.